Good morning. We're going to go ahead and begin our Sunday school hour here on this beautiful, somewhat cool July morning. Thankful for some cooler weather here in July. Glad to have all of you with us. We'll pray that more and more folks come in. I know it is smack dab in the middle of summer, so a lot of folks are still on vacation, enjoying some time away as school is rapidly coming. Oh boy, as August is right around the corner. So we are glad to have you here today. And we're thrilled to have the Birchwells with us. You'll get introduced to them if you haven't had a chance to meet them here in the Sunday School Hour. They'll be with us all day. And this is Kyle and Elizabeth. They got in yesterday. Glad that they made a safe trip from a more western PA. And they'll be handling Sunday School. Teens will stay up for this. And then he'll be preaching in the morning. And then they'll be back with us tonight. And they'll have the children's class this evening. So we're thankful that they're here all day. Going to keep them busy. And some of you have had a chance to already meet them a little bit at their table. Certainly encourage you to stop by and ask them questions. Pick up prayer cards. He'll say more about that as well. And they hail from anywhere from West Virginia to North Carolina to Pennsylvania. And you'll have to ask them about where and when and why. All right. But we're thrilled to have them here today, and looking forward to the Lord using them in our services. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for a good night's rest. Lord, I hope we don't take that for granted. I know the young people from camp, Raul probably as well, and others, maybe a busy work week, maybe a traveling day, maybe yesterday was busy with yard work and projects, or just doing lots of things. Lord, we're thankful for sleep that you have designed. Lord, we sure do need that. Lord, we'll break down very quickly, not just physically, but many ways, spiritually as well. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's rest. Thank you, Lord, that we have the wonderful privilege, most everybody here, Lord, if we're hot, we turn on the air conditioning or turn on the fans. And, Lord, we have many conveniences that most of the world does not have. Lord, let us not be spoiled and ungrateful, but thankful for all that you allow us to have. Thank you, Lord, for this church that we can meet in, Lord. We're thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the country that are meeting today to worship you. Some may be outdoors, some may be, Lord, in just a rented building or someone's home, but we're thankful that we can meet in this assembly, Lord, to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for Kyle and Elizabeth, our missionaries with us today. We pray you'll bless their ministry as they travel and on deputation church to church. Give safety, protection, give them strength and freshness, Lord, as they serve you. We thank you for their burden for Liberia. We're thankful they're here today to minister to us. Pray you'll use them in the Sunday School Hour and all the services, Lord, to challenge us from the Word of God, and especially in the area of missions and serving you, Lord. Thank you again for each one that is here today. We pray for those that may be coming in, several who are maybe sick, Lord, under the weather, not with us. Pray your blessing on them on this, the Lord's Day. We love and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin the class by watching a video of our missionaries in Liberia. That'll introduce you a little bit to them. And then when that's over, we'll have Kyle come up here, and they'll have the rest of Sunday school as the Lord directs there.
The Republic of Liberia is located along the coastline of West Africa, bordering Sierra Leone, Guinea, and the Ivory Coast. The country spans 43,000 square miles, roughly the same size as the state of Tennessee, and is home to an estimated 3.4 million people. Liberia is Africa's first and oldest republic. It was established on land purchased from indigenous Africans for freed slaves by the American Colonization Society in 1821. Although Liberia truly has the potential to be a flourishing tropical paradise, its history is quite tragic. Social and ethnic divides plagued the country from the beginning, with the political minority of freed American slaves segregating and oppressing the indigenous Africans. These failed political policies led to turmoil and ultimately violence. From 1989 until 2003, a series of ruthless civil wars killed over a quarter of a million people, while thousands more were displaced, mutilated, and tortured, often by armies of drug child soldiers led by competing warlords. There are even widespread reports of modern cannibalism. 10 years later, the 2014 and 2016 Ebola crisis mainly affected Liberia, killing more than 11,300 people. All of these factors have left most Liberians poor and hopeless, struggling to support their day-to-day existence in a culture that places a very low value on human life. there is no shortage of opportunities for outreach in Liberia. Our main goals are the planting of indigenous churches in the rural regions of Liberia, pushing the gospel in the indigenous dialects into unreached areas through the use of various ministries, evangelistic outreach, personal discipleship, and children's ministries will all play a vital part in rescuing souls from a culture of death with the gospel of life in Jesus Christ.
He's our love, our little one, and me, love. He's our love, our little one, and me, little one, and me, and God has one is me. He's our love, our little one.
We are the Birchwell family, and God has called us to spread the light of the gospel in the darkness of Liberia, West Africa. I was saved at the age of 4 and surrendered my life to serve the Lord as a missionary during my early teenage years. During my college education at Ambassador Baptist College, God answered specific prayers and opened doors for me to visit West Africa for my internship, ministering in Ghana, Liberia, and the Ivory Coast. During this trip, God burdened my heart for the country of Liberia. I have been pursuing this calling ever since, visiting the country again in 2020 and in 2022. My wife Elizabeth grew up in a pastor's home and was saved just before her 5th birthday. At the age of 12, she surrendered to the Lord to do whatever He had for her to do. The language barrier dramatically increases outside of the capital city of Monrovia, and the majority of the population of the interior counties of Liberia cannot be effectively reached by the English speaker alone. To add to this difficulty, travel through the interior regions is difficult, strenuous, and sometimes simply impossible. Because of this, the majority of missions outreaches are localized to the capital and other industrialized areas. Recent advances in road structure and technology in the country are changing this, however, opening doors that were previously closed. Cell and internet service are rapidly becoming available all throughout the country, allowing an indigenous gospel voice to penetrate to places that were up until now all but unreachable. We will seek to utilize internet radio, apps, podcasts, pre-recorded devices, and possibly even FM radio to accomplish this goal, partnering with godly Liberian men with a heart for their country to help carry their indigenous voices even further into the darkness. There are several ways that you can help us accomplish God's will in these endeavors. First of all, you can pray. Ephesians 6:18 through 19 reads, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Please pray for us as we seek to spread the gospel. Second, you can send. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 asks us, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, except they be sent?" Please consider partnering with us by helping to send us to Liberia as we seek to pursue God's calling on our lives. Third, you can go. In Acts 1:8, we find the words of Jesus, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." God has a place for you to witness for Him, whether it's across the sea, across the country, or across the street. Help God's people reach the world with the gospel by telling someone about Jesus today. "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, but as it is written, to whom he was spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand."
Pastor Boyer, thank you very much for the opportunity to be able to be here this morning. Thank you guys for having us. Once again, thank you, Brother Nate. The sound guy is often overlooked.
until something goes wrong, and then everybody points at them. It's a very important job. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for turning my mic on for me, because I would have forgotten. So anyways, thank you guys for that. Just a couple things that maybe weren't covered so much in the video. I always like to show it first. That way it's not I'm not redundant or repetitive. As of recently, a recent census from Liberia has come out, and the population as of now, according to this census, is right at 5 million. So I don't know whether that can be taken exactly for what it is or not, but the point of it is there is a population explosion in the country following the end of the civil war and Ebola crisis. The median age of the country right now is 17. So the average person walking the streets is really quite young. And there's a lot of good things that come from that, and there's a lot of bad things that come from that. When I first visited the country in 2018, very few people had cell phones or internet access. When we last visited last summer in 2022, even in the middle of the jungle, they had multiple cell phones, and they're able to watch their MTV music videos on YouTube. So there is a technology wave that is, you know, that is really just blooming in the country right now, and that gives us added opportunities and added open doors to be able to convey the gospel in other ways. I'm actually working with a missionary there right now. We're working to put together a multimedia platform that we'll be able to use as an evangelistic tool. The last time we were there, we were able to pass out 23,000 John and Romans in 4.5 hours just in the streets of the capital city. And we actually had government officials come back and ask for more for them to give out to the people under them in their workplace. So the good news is there is a openness to the gospel. There is a hunger for religious things. There's a lot of religious confusion. There's a lot of misrepresentation of Christianity. But the good news is they're very open to these things if somebody would just take the time to stop and talk to them and to try to give the gospel into their lives. So there's a huge open door there. Another change that is really coming as of right now is there's been a lot of Muslim influence that's coming in from Northern Africa. Maybe some of you guys are aware of the violence that's sweeping across North Africa in the Muslim community. And a lot of less radical Muslims are fleeing the more radical militarized Muslims, and they are pouring into West Africa from North Africa, and is making a little bit of a social crisis. And Islam in Liberia right now is easily the fastest growing religion in the country today. And that has just been within the past 4 to 5 years. There is a movement amongst the Fulani tribe, which is not indigenous to Liberia. Those are the Muslims from North Africa. There is enough of them in the country now that there's just gotten a law passed that the Quran has to be used in the government schools in teaching English. So I don't know how you use an Arabic book to teach English, but it is law now. And so that is a very recent development, very disturbing development. And there's a push right now to recognize Fulani, a North African tribe, as a 17th historical tribe of Liberia. So they are really pushing to try to not only bring in their religion, but to completely rewrite the nation's history. There are 16 Liberian tribes, and they're pretty strong on that right now. But there is so much outside influence from this Muslim population that they are pushing for a 17th historical tribe that never existed in Liberia. And so there's a real big focal movement around Islam in Liberia right now. And please, at the very least, be in prayer that God will raise up his people there to be able to keep Liberia from becoming an Islamic nation, which if you look through the history of African nations in the area, the odds aren't too good for Liberia right now. So please be in prayer for that. That's something that's going to happen during our lifetimes if it happens at all. So please be in prayer for us, that God will give us wisdom. Be in prayer for the Christians in Liberia, that God will give them wisdom, give them boldness, and give them a voice. If you were to Google Liberia today, it would say that 85% of the population is Christian. Unfortunately, that is not at all accurate. The idea of Christianity there is the Jehovah's Witnesses are there, the Mormons are there, the Catholics are there, the Seventh-day Adventists are there. And because it's an English-speaking country in Africa, it's been very easy for these false religions to come in. They got there ahead of us to come in and just really muddy the waters as to what Christianity is. The charismatic movement has a great foothold there. It ties in perfectly with the African culture and their traditional religions. So it's just that is the Christianity of the day. The average Liberian on the streets has no idea of the concept of personal sin. They have a proverb in their country that says, "God know my problem," which basically means, well, yes, I know that I steal, I cheat, I do all of these things on a daily basis, but God knows that I live in a place like Liberia and everybody else does these things. So therefore, when I get to heaven, God's going to let me in because he's going to overlook my sin because he knows my circumstances. And if you don't think you need Jesus, then you don't have him. But the average Christian in Liberia doesn't think they do anything wrong. They don't have any understanding of who Jesus really is, and they can't explain to you the gospel plan of salvation from the Bible. So there's a lot of confusion that has to be cut through. The missionary we visited our last time in the country was telling me about guys in his church that he's had one-on-one Bible studies with for 4 to 5 months, and they still have not come to the point where they have personally accepted Christ as their Savior. It just takes that long to work through all of that confusion to give them a Bible understanding of the gospel. So in the areas that are easily reached, there's a lot of confusion to deal with. In the areas that are not easily reached, people are very open, very eager, very hungry for the gospel. So there's very differing dynamics even just within that small of a country. Please pray for us. It's where God has placed our hearts. We're praying that we'll be able to be there sooner as opposed to later. There's some things we're working on even now for future outreach. Please pray for us that God will give us wisdom. And please pray that the Lord will give us safety on deputation. We just had our car break down last month. And praise the Lord. The Lord provided for that to be fixed. So we have that again. And so I was telling Pastor Boyer yesterday, I'm driving, I'm just listening to every single little noise, you know. But it's anyways, just pray for us. The Lord will give us wisdom, safety. Please pray the Lord will use this to grow us, that we'll be able to be a blessing and be able to make the connections that we need to make for future ministry in Liberia. We were in Staten Island pretty much all of this month, and we were able to meet many different Liberian families there. So that was a really interesting, unexpected twist for us. I got to talk to some people that had been there after the war, people that had left during the war, people that had been there only before the war, get their different perspectives on things. That was really interesting. While I'm thinking about Africans in Staten Island, please pray for a Nigerian man named Sunday. Should be an easy name to remember. I was able to witness to him extensively while we were there, and he didn't accept Christ that day. I felt if I pushed him that he would, but I really felt the Lord leading me not to do that. But we had a very long conversation, very frank with him several times. He knows what he needs to do. He knows the truth, and if you just be in prayer for him, that the Lord would continue to convict him and place people in his life to bring him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that would be a wonderful thing. If you have any questions about Liberia, please stop by the table. I had a big breakfast today, and my wife made sure I showered yesterday night, so I won't bite, and I'm clean. And she's much easier to talk to. But anyway, swing by the table, pick up a prayer card. I always tell folks, you can throw darts at my picture, whatever you want to do, just so long as it reminds you to pray for us. We need all the prayer that we can get. And so please stop by, pick up a prayer card. We have a brochure there. If you want to see a little bit more in-depth detail about our ministry in Liberia, feel free to take one of those. There's something for the board there too. You can grab one of those as well. And we have these really cool stickers that are, you know, the cutout stickers of Liberia and of Africa, actually. I know everybody puts stickers on their water bottles and on their laptops and anything these days. So don't worry, I won't judge you. I don't do it, but if you want to pick one up, go ahead and pick one up. Remember to pray for us, please. So, if you have any more questions about Liberia, find us in person. We'd love to talk to you. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll have our Sunday school lesson here. Matthew 28, while you're turning, it was just a blessing to my heart during the praise and prayer request time to hear how the church came together to make sure that the church teens could go to camp. That's just a wonderful thing. I went to camp many years when I was a teenager, and I could never afford to go with myself either, but there were people in the church, even the pastor, that had, you know, odd jobs that he would let the teens do. I weeded so many flower beds, I've lost count. But I got to go to camp, did some scrap metal to go to camp, and you know, tore down some old properties for somebody and took that to the dump to go to camp. And camp is an important place for teens because, you know, it's a weird time of life. And there's a lot of changes going on. You're starting to be conscious about a lot of things that you had no idea existed before those years. And it's good to go and see that there's other young people that believe as you do and that want to serve God. And they go to church and you're not really as weird as maybe you thought you were. That's always a good thing. And the Lord really used camp in my life personally. I surrendered to full-time Christian service at a Christian summer camp. And then a few years later, I surrendered to be a missionary at the age of 14 in a Christian summer camp. And that's something that, you know, the Lord used that to work in my heart then at a very important time of life. And so that's just a wonderful thing. Hopefully I've talked long enough for you guys to be in Matthew 28. By the way, if anybody falls asleep, don't feel bad about it. I'm not going to wake you up or anything. You guys got an excuse, so don't worry about that. But anyways, forget I said that. Matthew chapter 28. Is where we will be beginning this morning. But I'd like to bring you guys, it's just a short lesson, nothing you guys don't already know, but hopefully this will be an encouragement, a reminder about God's plan for the world and our part in God's plan. God has a part in His plan for you, and it ties into all of this. And so I'll just bring you a short lesson entitled The Biblical Basis for Involvement in Missions. The Biblical Basis for Involvement in Missions. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. And Lord, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would work and move in our hearts. And Lord, encourage us, challenge us, reprove us if needed, Lord, and just inspire us to seek to play out our part in Your plan for the world. Lord, I pray that You'd be with me. Lord, I pray that You'd give me a clear train of thought. I pray that You'd keep me from saying anything I shouldn't say. And just, Lord, I just pray You'd hide me behind the cross and work in spite of me, Lord. And I just pray that You would move, if only in my heart this morning. Lord, thank You. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. The point of this short lesson today is simply this: God has a part for every believer to play in reaching the world with the gospel. And we're going to look at three ways that you can be involved in God's plan for the world. And God wants you to be involved in His plan for the world. We're going to talk about that. The first way that you can be involved in God's plan for reaching the world is simply this: you can obey the Great Commission in your own life. You can obey the Great Commission in your own life. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is the most common passage of Scripture where we find the Great Commission, that great mission, the last, the marching orders that Jesus Christ left with His followers on this earth. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This is a great commission. This is the last words of Jesus. This is the last command to us. It's never been redacted. It's never been changed. It's never been modified. It's never been amended. It's still to do these things. We find four elements here. Number one, go. Number two, preach. Number three, teach. And number four, baptize. Let's break this down in simple practicality here this morning for us. Go. It just says go. You know, be a witness for Christ wherever He places you. It's not as complicated and out of reach as sometimes we make it seem. You know, Pastor mentioned, you know, you think, why am I where I'm at? It's because God's put you there to be a witness for Him. God has put you there to be a shining light for Him wherever He has called you to be. God calls some to be pastors, some evangelists, some teachers, and some He calls to be stock boys in a Walmart. He calls some to be mechanics. He calls some to be lawyers. He calls some to be all of these different things so that they can be a light for Christ where He has placed them. You know, Charlie's a good friend of mine. We were in school for several years together. Hopefully he hasn't told you any terrible stories about me, although I know he could tell you many. So Charlie, please don't want him at your mercy this morning here. But we were talking to him before the service, and he was talking about how he was able to be witnessing to one of the young guys at his work. And when I worked at a plant while I was working my way through college, you know, the fellows that were under me, I was able to talk to them about the gospel many times. And when there were problems in their lives, they would come and ask for prayer. And what does the Bible say about this? And see, when you're in these circumstances, wherever you are at, you're to be a shining light for Christ. You know, Jesus talked to his disciples about being that light set on a hill. That city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And whatever hill Christ has placed you on, be that light. You don't have to be me. Please don't be me. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a pastor. This is for you. This is for me. This is for all of us. To go wherever God has called us, wherever God has placed us, and be a light for Christ. Number two, preach. Folks, this doesn't require a pulpit. It doesn't require that you be ordained. It doesn't require that you be a man. It doesn't require that you go to Bible college. This is simply talking about spreading the good news of the gospel. Your testimony will always be the most powerful sermon you could ever preach. However your testimony might have unfolded, the most powerful thing you will ever be able to do is to tell somebody what God has done in your life. Tell them how you met Jesus. Tell them how God became real to you. Tell them how you had a need last week, and you prayed, and you sought God's face, and you claimed the promises of God's word, and God came through on your behalf. You know, the world would be a lot more interested and what we have to say when it comes to the gospel, if we did a better job of showing them that God was real to us. And when we see here this idea of preaching, just tell others about how Christ saved you. Make God real to them by telling them how God is real to you. It's that simple. Teach. You know, help others to grow in their walk with God. This is a step-by-step process. And it's not really all that complicated. You know, just tell them what God has told you. Jesus said, look, I've taught you these things. Teach them to others. As you grow in the Lord teaches you these things. As you attend church, maybe you go to college, maybe you do your own Bible study. You maybe have one-on-one with pastor or other people that help you to grow in the Lord. Well, share that with other people. Help them to grow as well. And baptize, you know, see folks saved and move forward for God. There is something in this formula for everyone. Something there for me, there's something there for Pastor, there is something there for you. You can obey the Great Commission in your own life. That's one way, a most important way maybe, that you can be involved in God's plan for reaching the world. But number two, this is the awkward part for me. You can financially support the Lord's work in the lives of others. It is a biblical concept. It is a biblical principle. You know, the Bible gives us many examples of Christians supporting the work of the Lord in the lives of others, less fortunate Christians even. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Go ahead and turn over there for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. There's a few passages in 1 and 2 Corinthians we could look at. We're not going to spend all of our time here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, we find Paul speaking to the church there at Corinth. And he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He says, don't wait till I get there. Do this now. Be working on this now. Verse 3, and when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Now the church of Jerusalem, the mother church really, if you think about it that way, that's where this all started, was suffering very intense persecution. And they had lost everything that they had. They were kicked out of their homes. They were living desolate. And the churches around about, all throughout the known world at the time, really, heard about the need of the church at Jerusalem. And they raised money to send that to them to help them out. So we have that kind of giving. We have this idea there. But also 2 Corinthians, just a few pages there to your right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. verses 7 through 14. It's a little bit of a passage here, but we're going to read it and say a few things. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Paul was talking about this idea of being a cheerful giver, this idea of sowing. Notice also this verse here, chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, is in the context of giving within the local church. You know, I've heard that verse used in a multitude of different ways, and they're all valid applications, but the context is specifically in giving money to the Lord's work, whether that's tithing to your local church, giving to a special offering, giving so that the young people can go to camp and the Lord can work in their lives. The biblical principle is there. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. He says, look, God is glorified through this. The seed is given to the sower to be sown. God is glorified. You prove to the world that you believe in what you're doing by putting your money where your mouth is. And there's many other different principles that we could pull out of this. God blesses this. God uses this. God delights in this. I remember when I was in Bible college, there was a missionary that came to Maranatha Baptist Church. And I don't even remember who the missionary was. I just remember feeling moved to give. And at the same time, I didn't want to because I was a broke college student. And, you know, I had a better job later on in my college career, but at this point in time, I was making dirt, and I was looking at it, and I was like, I don't know about that. And I felt convicted because it's like, Kyle, you know you're called to be a missionary someday, you know. You got to be a part of this. And the Lord convicted me, and I had a $10 bill and a few ones in my wallet, and I put all of them in the plate, and that was that. Well, I go home to the dorm, and I take my suit off. And when I go to take off my suit, somebody had given me a note or something. I scribbled something down on one of the tithe envelopes. And I went to pull that out of my pocket. I felt something else in there that I know had not been in there before. And it was $40 wrapped up in that suit coat pocket. And I know it was not there before. So how did it get there? I don't know. But the point of the matter is this. God rewards the cheerful giver. And we don't ever give for reward. That undercuts the entire thing. But the point of it is this. God's work, God has for some reason chosen to be moved forward by us. I don't understand that. If I was, and praise the Lord that I'm not, but if I was God, I wouldn't choose me to do his work. And I'm sure there's some good people here today. I'm probably better than I'll ever be. But I wouldn't choose you either. I'd have all these angels out there preaching the gospel. I'd have them all out there working miracles. They don't need to be fed. They don't need to be housed. They don't need to pay bills. Any of those things. But God hasn't chosen to do that. God has called you to preach the gospel. And he's asked us to support the Lord's work through our actions and through our lives. And that's the way that he's seen fit to do it. And the beauty of that is that it proves the reality of God to us and to those around us when they see us living what we are speaking. Not only does the Bible teach us this principle of giving for the Lord's work, you know, so give to the church. Give your tithes. You know, the lights don't pay for themselves. We need to do these things. But also, you know, the Bible does teach the full-time servant of the Lord should be taken care of financially by the church in order to support his work. You know, the pastor deserves to be paid. You'd be surprised how many people don't agree with that statement. But it's biblical. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go ahead and turn back just a few pages to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 14. And here we find Paul, a missionary, speaking here, and he's talking about this. He says, "Or I only and Barabbas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planted the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap of you carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Doth ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." And he's addressing a problem that arose pretty immediately in the early church. You know, in the Judaic system, those that were the ministers of God to the people, God had provisions in the law. They were very well taken care of. You know, there were certain offerings that when people brought those to God, the entire thing was burnt. But that was the minority. The vast majority of the offerings that were brought to the temple were offered to God, and then used to feed the priests and their family. And not only that, but a priest would only serve for a couple years of his life. But he was taken care of his entire life by provision in the law of God by the people of Israel. There was land that was set aside for him and his family. There was monetary allowance that was given to him. He was allowed to eat of the fruit of the temple sacrifices. He was taken care of. It was built into the law. And then when the early church began, you have this transition from the Judaic system and the law of Moses and those sacrificial systems. And then you come over to the church, and all of a sudden people didn't want to give anymore. And Paul says, hey, look, this has always been the case. God's servants have always been taken care of by God's people. Why should this change now? So I'm not campaigning for support here, but this is, number two, this is a way that you can take part in serving the Lord. You can take what God has given to you of your surplus, the blessings that he has given to you, and be a conduit of that grace to give that to ministries anywhere around the world. And that gift that God has given to you, you can reap the blessings of giving that to someone, to minister to people that you'll never meet, people that you could never have told the gospel to. You've helped somebody else to do that, and in so doing, you have fruit that now abounds to your account. You can be a part of God's plan in reaching the world by giving back to God what he has given to you. Number one, you can obey the Great Commission in your own life. It isn't just for me. It's not just for the pastor. It is for all of us. There are people that God wants you to reach in your Jerusalem. Maybe there's somebody here that you feel the call of God on your life to go somewhere else. And maybe there's a place that God has put on your heart, and there's a burden that you have for people that, you know, maybe you've heard that these people over here, they've not yet been reached. There's over 100 unreached people groups in the world still today. And maybe God's tugging on your heartstrings to go that direction. Follow that calling. You can obey the Great Commission in your own life. Number two, you can financially support the Lord's work in the lives of others. It's a biblical principle. Number three, in closing here, however, you can lift up others in prayer as they serve the Lord. This is the easiest part of the plan. It is often the most neglected. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Paul writes, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. One of the great things about Paul is that he's very transparent. He's very honest. And he says, look, I'm not going to hide from you guys the fact that we were having a rough time. You know, for folks in ministry, you run into rough times. And oftentimes a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist, they feel, as even especially their wives, they feel like they cannot be transparent about the rough times they're running into in their own life because they have to be strong for the sake of others. And so this is a shameless plug here. Support your pastor. Let them know that you love them. Go out of your way to be a blessing for them because they spend their lives holding up their hands to God for you. The least you can do is let them know that you're holding up your hands for them. All right, moving along here. He says, look, we've got this going on. He says, we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and whom we trust he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us. That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. He says, look, we have the support of all of these people to help us do what we're doing, but we could not have done it if it had not been for your prayer. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. You know, folks, our warfare is not carnal, but it's against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness in this present world. And you go places anytime you put a foot out to go speak for Jesus, somebody somewhere is going to raise a foot in opposition. And you need prayer, and we need prayer. And when you see people that are trying to do things for God, pray for them because they need it desperately. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 through 2, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. Hebrews 13:18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. Folks, this is an easy thing. Pray for those that are out there spreading the gospel. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the people that you know that are doing their best to serve the Lord with their lives. Pray for them. You know, there's an evangelist that I know that was in the National Guard for some time, and he did serve a few deployments, and he was in the artillery. That's what he did. He was the guy that called out the coordinates and, you know, looked at the map they were doing and then chalked in where the hits actually came in and readjusted the coordinates so that the artillery would hit where it was supposed to hit. And they have to do that as quickly and as quickly and precisely as they can because there are lives on the line every time a call comes in. He talked about how it's a very common saying, artillery is the king of the battlefield. It wins the day or loses it. And maybe you follow the little bit of the war going on in Ukraine. You'll find out, if you pay attention at all, it is a deal that comes down to the artillery on the front lines, whether the lines move or not. Do they have shells? Do they not have shells? Do they have the guns? Do they not have the guns? Have the barrels burnt out? Do they need replacements? And when the artillery is set, people move forward. When the artillery is lagging behind, people die. And folks, prayer is the spiritual artillery of our spiritual battlefield. Think of Moses sitting up there on the mountain, holding up his hands in prayer for the people of Israel as they fought with the enemy in the valley below. And as Moses stood there in prayer and his arms got weary, and throughout the day as the hours went on, his hands began to droop. And as his hands began to droop and his eyes began to grow weary, the Bible says that the battle turned against the people of the Lord. And you have Aaron and Hur, and they come and they throw his arms back up. And God's people win the day. You know, folks, I'm spending a lot of time on this point because it's so important and it's so easy and yet it's so often overlooked. God has a part for you to play in His plan for reaching the world. If you think about it, if He didn't, He'd have taken you to glory the moment He saved you. If heaven is really that awesome, really that wonderful, And that's really where we're supposed to be, in God's presence physically and spiritually and permanently. Then why aren't we there yet? It's because God left us with a commission. He left us with a job to do. He said, occupy, be busy until I come. We haven't been saved to sit stale and sour. We've been saved to serve. And whatever the Lord has for you, it falls into these three categories here. Actually, probably all three at the same time. God's plan for reaching the world. You can obey the Great Commission in your own life. There's somebody that you need to tell Jesus about. And you need to tell about Jesus. Get that straight. You know, maybe there's something that the Lord has blessed you with that you can turn around and give to somebody else to be a blessing and help reach and empower souls to be saved somewhere else. At the very least, you can hit your knees for a couple moments a day, hopefully more, and pray for those that you know that are serving the Lord on the front lines. Those that, as Jude would say, they go even into the fire to pull that person out. Pray for them. They need it. I hope that this morning that God's Word has encouraged you to find your part to play in God's plan for reaching the world with the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity we've had this morning to look at your Word. And just, Lord, I pray that it would be an encouragement, Lord, and an inspiration. And Lord, I pray that if there's that one person here today that, Lord, you've been putting on their heart and mind some soul that they know they need to tell about Jesus. Maybe they've been concerned about it. Maybe they've been worried about it. Maybe they don't know how it's going to be received. Maybe they're nervous. Maybe they're shy. Lord, I pray that you would convict them of the need to do that. Lord, I pray that you'd comfort them. Pray that you'd remind them that you're with them in this endeavor. And then I pray that you give them the opportunity to give the gospel to this person. Lord, this person, whoever it is, Lord, I pray that you'd already be working in their heart. I pray that you'd already be plowing the soil of their soul so that it's willing and ready to accept that seed. Lord, I pray that that soul will be one to Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the hour to come. Pray that you bless us all with your presence, with your Holy Spirit. Thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.